In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to remember back to when you were a child. For some of us, that is easier than others, because some of us have farther to go than others. So remember back when you were a kid. Remember when you got caught doing something bad. How did you respond? Well, likely the first thing that you did was to deny that anything bad ever happened. Well, no, Mom, the house didn't burn down. You're mistaken. It never works, does it? Well, then the next thing you try is, well, yeah, the house burned down, but Bob did it. Blame it on someone else. That doesn't work either. The next thing you try is to say, well, yeah, I did it, but someone made me do it. Yeah, I burned down the house, but Bob made me burn down the house. That doesn't work either. None of this stuff works because parents have superpowers. They're able to tell when you're doing something wrong even before you do it. It's kind of an amazing skill. This goes back a long way, doesn't it? Remember Adam and Eve? We heard about it. Adam, what did you do? She made me do it. Eve, what did you do? The snake made me do it. We try to blame it on someone else. Well, eventually you have to own up to it. You have to own up to what you did wrong, and then you discover that you would have gotten in way less trouble if you'd just been honest about it to begin with instead of trying to play games. Then you take your punishment and you realize that you're never going to get away with it. It's good preparation for adulthood. Well, what brings chaos and pain and evil into the world? And yes, there are such things. We can pretend that everything is hunky-dory, that everything is great, but it's not. It's kind of like going and standing in the middle of the freeway and saying, there are no cars, there are no trucks here, and because I don't believe that they're here, nothing will happen to me, just as you get run over and turn into a flat person. Pretending something bad isn't there will not make it go away. Well, why are there these bad things in the world? Or are you tempted to say, well, you know, because other people do them. It's their fault. Or because the devil tempts us. It's his fault. When really, if we're honest, we want to look in the mirror and say, it's that guy's fault. Because we sin. We do things that are contrary to the gospel. And that brings chaos, pain, and evil into the world. We need to take responsibility for our own actions, turn from them, and learn to follow our Lord in this world and in the next. And with his help, because we can't do it by ourselves, with his help and by the power of God, we can turn from evil, learn to do good, and bring about real change. Disorder, of course, came into the world through the envy of the devil. And make no mistake about it, the devil is a real entity. He's not someone's imagination. It's not something someone cooked up to represent evil. The devil was the greatest of the angels. And when he fell from grace, he took with him a third of the host of heaven. And they became the demons. And the devil and his demons want to do nothing more and nothing less than to separate us from God for all eternity. And most of the time, all he needs to do that is to whisper little things in our ears and say things like, oh, it really doesn't matter. Or you have a right to be happy. Or who is God to deny you of this small thing anyway? It's only when we really resist that the devil tries his CGI tricks. You know, the kinds of things that you see in the movies. The kinds of things that happen to St. Jean-Marie Vianney or Padre Pio. Disorder comes through the devil. But healing comes through Christ and only through Christ. We as human beings have been enslaved by the devil via sin and our own choices. And yet God did not leave us there. Today we heard a parable in today's gospel. Whenever you hear a parable in the gospel, by the way, ask yourself what each thing represents. So in today's parable, who is the strong man? It's the devil. Where is his house? It's this world. What are his possessions in his house? We are. Now, who is the man who is strong enough to bind the devil? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is true God and true man. And he sneaks into the devil's house. How? By becoming incarnate. By taking upon himself our frail human nature. And through his cross and resurrection, he binds the devil so that we can be free. The forgiveness of our sins is how we are free, if we let Jesus forgive us. I don't know about you, but the first time I read that bit in today's gospel about an unforgivable sin, it scared the living daylights out of me. I said to myself, I am never talking about the Holy Spirit because I never want to accidentally blaspheme him because I want to be forgiven. I want to go to heaven. Well, that's not what Jesus is talking about. That blasphemy against the Holy Spirit manifests itself in two particular ways. One of which is by people believing that there is something that they can do which is so terrible and so powerful that God cannot and will not forgive it. Is there anyone here who is more powerful than God? Smart people. No one here is more powerful than God. No one is more powerful than God. And because that is the case, there is nothing that God cannot forgive if we repent. Nothing that we can do is so powerful or so awful that we cannot turn from it. Repent and be forgiven by God. The other way blasphemy against the Holy Spirit manifests itself is by people who think they don't have any sins. What? I don't have anything that needs to be forgiven. I am without sin. There are people who think that. Anyone here without sin? Of course not. We all need God's forgiveness. If, by the way, you are without sin, I want you to call and make an appointment with me so that we can do your paperwork for your canonization as a saint so that, you know, right immediately when you die, we can submit the paperwork. Guess what? I don't have any paperwork like that because no one qualifies. We have to acknowledge our sinfulness if we wish to be forgiven. And God wants to forgive us. He wants to forgive us so much that he adopts us into his family. Through adoption, we are mothers and brothers and sisters to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hey, what about fathers? No, Jesus only has one father, and he's in heaven. But the rest of us are adopted into the family of God so that we can be forgiven. And so that we may walk with him in this world and in the next. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.